the Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Specials Podcast. Thanks for all your tweets wondering where we were last week. We just took a little week off. My name's Lee Phelps. Rob Dixon, reality Rob Dixon, is here with me. You well, Rob?
Do you mean we took a week off? I was here.
You said
nobody.
No,
nobody
I've
was
got,
here with
I've
me.
I've got things to do.
You didn't say that. You said you were on holiday.
Yeah, we're both off, weren't we? We've got plenty to look at this week, as ever, on the Specials Podcast. We've got The Voice, The Jump, Oscars, of course, a couple of little cheeky little specials on Ant and Dec, Saturday Night Takeaway, and The X Factor as well, plus Eurovision. Should we start with The Voice?
Yes.
Because we're getting to the point where it gets relatively interesting. All the auditions are finished, the blinds as they call them. Now we get down to the battle rounds. Kevin Sim is the 11-4 favourite. He's the guy from Liberty X. Cody Frost, who's been the favourite or second favourite since the first episode, 9-2. Jolan, 7-2.
Well, funny you mentioned this. A couple of weeks ago when Dave took your place, he was pronouncing them all in French. We got Jolan and Vengelis.
Oh, right. Okay.
So basically, yes, it's me and you.
Yeah.
But with our
Jolan.
Our lead twang, it's Jolan and Vengelis.
Yeah. Lydia Lucy is 8-1, 10-1 Harry Fisher. The aforementioned Vengelis is 10-1, Beth Morris 12-12, Chloe Castro, Lauren Lapsley Brown, Lyrical 20s, 25s for Bradley Waterman, Rachel Ann is also 25-1. I mean, as ever, I could just keep reading names.
Yeah.
It doesn't really mean anything. This is where it gets interesting, though, because on more than one occasion, we've seen fancied acts go by the way at this stage when the battles commence.
Yeah. Yeah. We normally at this stage also tend to get a little bit of a leak of who's got through and who was strong
no
in
leaks.
Battle rounds and. It's been...
leakless.
We are leakless.
We are watertight.
Yeah, so...
That's good. I like that. I don't like these leaks. I don't like, you know, I like it to be a genuine, you know, contest between bookmaker and punter.
So, I don't. Yeah. I kind of like bookmaker way ahead of punter.
Yeah,
punters get enough. Let's give one to the bookmakers for a change.
Oh, so. Yeah. Yes. I can't get away from the fact that when I look back over the series and someone says to me, who had the best voice? It's Kevin Sim by a country mile.
It's Kevin Sim, but Kevin Sim is also the one that's had the career, hasn't mm-hmm. he? So
true. And we know
the
in the past that never really works for anyone, does it?
No, there's not too many people sort of turn up and win through sort of having a career before, so...
So you're not happy. I mean, Jolan.
I'm not.
I would say he ranks very close to Kevin Sim, but he had an extra bit of personality that Kevin Sim. If we're going to count that as a negative against Kevin Sim, the fact that he's had a career, then I think Jolan is the one for me.
Yeah, and it's a sort of redemption, isn't it? It is somebody who got through last year or a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But nobody turned and stuff, and suddenly now he's in with a chance and. I mean, they put him on. They put him on out of the six audition shows. They put him on the slot where I think was probably the weakest of the six as well. Maybe to get him to stand out, and we harp back and we look at sort of X Factor and how they.
You're still making out there's some sort of conspiracy.
Oh,
from
of
the
course
BBC.
There is. If
jeez.
You need it for ratings, don't you? So
no, they're not bothered.
you're never bothered about this. You don't think they're bothered? They
no,
are
they're
bothered.
Not.
I
they're
think
not.
The last they're year not. They still want. They still want a legacy of something off this show, don't they? They don't want a legacy of four failed pop stars. Let's.
I don't think they care. I think they make a show. It's a nice show. Blah, blah, blah. Done.
Maybe.
Jolan's my bet now, though, 7-1.
Yeah, I mean, I backed a couple last week. I backed Rachel Ann.
How many have you backed in the market now? 15.
Four. No, three.
Three.
I've only backed Cody Frost, Rachel Ann, and I've backed... the lady who was on last, Colleen Gormley, the one who looked like an angel as she came in.
Are you kidding me? You backed her?
Yeah.
I thought that was... I couldn't even... She wouldn't even got through. She's in the first week. No one would have turned. No one would have turned. That was just... I can't believe you backed her.
Yeah, like. But it's always... It's so scripted, those last two, isn't
it? It's just ludicrous. It's like, he needs to turn. It's like every year.
Last year, he didn't turn, did he? And ended up with the joke act.
Yeah. And that's what he's done again this year,
well,
mate.
No, she's not that bad.
Rachel Ann, she's a 16-year-old, isn't she?
Yeah,
she sang in for the kill.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that,
all right.
That was very good.
Yeah, she was all right. Yeah, she was all right. Okay, so we'll watch the battles with interest as we always do. The jump. Has anyone else suffered serious injury?
No.
Or near death?
No.
No. Tom Parker's a 7-4 favourite to win this. Dean Kane, 15-8, was Superman, so he should have an advantage. Ben Cohen, 5-1, Sido in 10s, Brian McFadden 12s, Tamara Beckwith 14s, Heather Mills 16s, and Sarah Hyde in 20s. Life's taken over a little bit, and I haven't watched this for a couple of weeks, so fill me in.
Yeah, Joe Swash was the last one to go, which is, he actually did well considering the fact that he'd got a broken shoulder anyway. But he was the only one who said he didn't seem to get a letter off his mum telling him that he could leave the show. So unfortunately, he couldn't take part in the moguls last week, so he was automatically up for the jump at the end, and he failed quite a lot. Really, there was quite a big difference between him and the rest of the field. So he's gone. I think it was Dean Kane who won the moguls last week. So it's looking a two-horse race, providing they stand up between Tom and Dean for the win now. So. Only a couple of weeks to go.
Excitement. Taking much money on it?
Nope.
Yeah. fair enough. Let's just do a couple of specials before we get onto the Oscars. Who's going to replace Nick Grimshaw? Who's going to replace everyone in the X Factor? Should be a
They're
market.
Going, aren't
They're
they?
All
yeah.
going one by one.
Yeah.
Louis Tomlinson is 2-5. He's got a bit of history on the show, obviously, with being Simon's helper. I think last year, wasn't he? And he's featured quite a lot. That seems like a decent favourite. Louis Walsh, 5-1. Sharon Osborne, 6-1. Leon Lewis, 10-1. Mel B, 10-1. Robbie Williams, 10s. Denny Minogue, 14s. Paloma Faith, same price. Zayn Malik, 20s. Adele, 25. Kanye West, 25. Kanye West, come on, mate. You could put a zero on the end of that.
Definitely.
If it was a bone.
Do you know there's a few there that you probably could put a zero?
Yeah, Bilal's, Adele's not going to do it, is she?
Bilal's two, definitely.
Yeah, but Zay, I mean, Louis Tomlinson looks like a decent bet, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't
see. I mean, it's not a decent bet because it's a terrible price, but what I mean is it's a justified favourite.
Yeah, definitely justified favourite. Obviously, Caroline and Ollie left earlier this week. Dermot O'Leary looks like he's coming back. He was as short as 1-3 when we closed the betting on that. So
you think a year off would have taught him that? I mean, maybe all the kind of all the nice tweets that he got last year about how great he was compared to the other two.
Apparently, because you don't actually know your words and you announce the wrong winner and things like that, suddenly they realise that Dermot's probably doing a decent job. And
X Factor's gone for me now.
Rumour has it that he's basically been told to name his price to come back. So
fair enough. We all like that, answering that question. I've never been asked that question, but I would. Who killed Simon Cowell?
Well,
he's not dead. Let's just get this cleared up. Simon Cowell is still very much alive. But Ant and Dec's Saturday Night Takeaway, which was a breath of fresh air on the TV last weekend, good family viewing. They're going to do a skit where Simon Cowell, unfortunately, meets his maker. And we're going to be, it's like a whodunit, isn't it?
Yep.
We're going to be asking who has killed Simon Cowell, in inverted commas. Louis Walsh is the favourite at 2-1. Anton Deck themselves are 4-1. Piers Morgan, 4-1. Sunita, 4-1. Cheryl Fernandez Vassini is 8. Is she called that still, even though she's getting divorced?
Still, definitely, yeah.
8-1. Ollie Mers, 8s. Caroline Flack, 10s. Alicia Dixon, 60. These are all just people you'd obviously think of, because it's just people who've been on shows that he's been involved in. Any member of Diversity, 16s. Stephen Mulhern, 16s. Warwick Davis, 16s. I don't know why Warwick's in there. Christopher Biggins, 22. Why Christopher Biggins?
Because he's in the scenes. They've shown little pictures, you see, and both Warwick
Craig
Davis,
20-1. Emma Bunton, 20s. Stacey Solomon, 20s. All these people feature in the scenes, or they've worked with him in some guys before.
No, they're all in the scenes.
Oh, right.
They're all in the scenes.
There's no one else in the scenes.
I'm not conning anyone.
Okay, no, I'm not suggesting you would be.
Well, I've put others on request. There might be one or two I've not seen from the pictures.
Right, okay.
But, I mean, Digital Spy, I've got...
Is the husband of the woman who he stole and got pregnant in the scenes?
Lauren Silverman.
The guy,
husband.
The husband?
I don't know.
No. I just wondered.
Probably taking it a little bit too far, aren't we?
That's an interesting market. The Oscars... This weekend.
The Oscars are back.
Did you enjoy the Brits, by the way?
Nope.
It's good for the company?
Nope.
Lots of favourites winning.
Yep.
Best picture, let's start there. This has been one of the best picture markets we've had in recent years, because usually you have a short price favourite that just romps away with it. We've had three favourites over the course of the last 4 or 5 weeks, haven't we?
Yeah.
The Revenant is currently top spot, 4-9. Spotlight, 5-2. The Big Short, 6-1. Room, 66s. Mad Max, 80-1. The Martian, 100s. Brooklyn, 150. Bridge of Spies, 200-1. The Revenant strikes me as a sort of film that should win Best Picture. It's not my favourite film with a lot, and I've watched the majority of them. But the front two in the market should be there.
Yeah, definitely.
In the market. I mean, the Spotlight is a really enjoyable story.
Yeah.
Great film to watch. Sit down, just, brilliant. But The Revenant is something different.
Yeah.
It's an epic, and it's got...
It's an epic. And whether it's that short, though, now, that's...
I couldn't back it now.
4-9 does seem sort of on the short side now.
Won the BAFTA, won the Screen Guild as well.
Yeah, but the money has been pretty relentless for The Revenant since the BAFTA. So,
I'm taking it on at the price. I think Spot... Like I say, if we're just talking about, a film that... A film that kind of is... The Revenant's interesting to watch, but you wouldn't say it's an enjoyable film. I enjoyed Hateful Eight more. I enjoyed Mad Max more.
Yeah.
But Spotlight, that also won the Screen Actors Guild Award, didn't it? So that has got a lot of weight in Oscar.
Yeah,
in Oscar,
definitely.
Obviously, the actors, a big block of voting.
I mean,
the
Big Short one, that Big Short was the first one to win. And that's the one that has had the eight consecutive winners. So... You look and maybe think, at 6-1, it's still not out of the equation. The only problem with Big Short is it will struggle. I think it struggles in quite a lot of the other minor categories. There's not really much going for. While The Revenant, I think, is favourite for sort of 4 or 5 of sort of the minor awards on the night. And you just wonder if that's the way it's going to go. If The Revenant starts win those 4 or 5, then you'd think it tends to go that way. It's going to be...
It won the Golden Globe, not the Screen Actors Guild, didn't it? Revenant, sorry. The Golden Globe, it was obviously Spotlight that won the Screen Actors Guild. So it won, but it got Best Film at the BAFTAs as well, though, didn't it?
Yeah.
The Globes and the BAFTAs under its belt, with Spotlight weighing in with the Screen Actors Guild. I'm going to go Spotlight, 5-2. I enjoyed it more. I'm just going to go on my own. If I was an actor, I'd vote for that.
Yeah.
I'm not, so it doesn't matter. But
I'm financially tied into the Big Short, aren't I? But... Yeah.
It's a big long now.
To be quite honest, all three of those deserve Best Picture. It was the actual standard, I think, this year is a lot better than it's been previous years. Mm. And the market's shown even the award ceremonies and stuff, it's not been one film that's been dominating. Yeah, The Revenant's won 2 or 3 at the back end, but it's been closely fought this year, and it's been good.
Yeah. This won't take long. Best Actor.
Yeah, Leo's
1-100.
Some of them haven't been there.
Yeah, so that he's winning that. He's won everything else. He's winning that. There's no point in even going on anymore about that. Best Actress, it's another shorty. Brie Larson for her role in Room, 1-20. We can sit here and make arguments for others, but the lesson that we've learned, and maybe we're going against it for Best Picture, the lesson we've learned is don't go away from the shorties, because they're short for a reason. So
no, not
whether you think Brie Larson should win this or not is irrelevant.
No, not
22-1 on shots don't get beat.
Not when you get to the... Not sort of the big awards at this stage, no.
Yeah, so they're done and dusted, those two. As a lot of the categories are, to be fair, Best Director, 1-9, Alejandro González Iñárritu for The Revenant. George Miller, Mad Max Fury Road, great, thoroughly enjoyed that film, but you're not going to get a 1-9 shot beat
Mad Max Fury Road will have its day at the Oscars. I can certainly see it picking up sort of 2 or 3 of the sort of minor, the visual effects.
The bag lady will come on.
The bag lady will come
so
on.
That was inverted commas, by the way, for anyone who's can't see us.
Yeah, you'll be off Twitter as well. But,
she
was interviewed on BBC Breakfast yesterday and saying that's the worst part of the actual ceremony for her. She loves designing all these costumes and stuff. But the fact that she's got to dress up herself to go to the Oscars is probably the worst bit for her. So,
that looks like an open and shut case, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you'd have to say the same thing about supporting actress, really, would you? Alicia Vikander for The Danish Girl, 2-5.
Yeah, that seems to have been, again...
Kate Winslet, Steve Jobs.
Again,
I mean,
the Racing Post have tipped up Kate Winslet today, but I think they were more just trying to find something to oppose... Theater. I mean, I would have probably gone with Rooney Mara and Carroll as a better bet in that market.
See, I think, I mean, it's tricky this because I think the supporting actor market has been, I've said this over and over again, has been wrong all the way along.
Supporting actress, you don't need to do a lot. When Helen Mirren won supporting actress for 8 minutes, 8 minutes she was on screen in Elizabeth and won supporting actress for that. Kate Winslet, they do like it. They do tend to like giving a British win at some point. Mm. So, I mean, maybe that or Eddie Redmayne, as we're going to come on to in a minute, is the way to go. But I wouldn't, the 2 out of 5, out of the six, I think, the 2 out of 5, this is the one that could potentially go if
you think?
Away from Best Picture, yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, I want Sly Stallone not to win because I don't think he deserves it for that performance. Not that it was a bad performance, but it wasn't the best supporting actor performance yet. He's 1 to 3, and again, it seems home and hose like that he's going
to
get there.
Yeah, it's 1 to 3. You just feel this is almost your Ryan Giggs spotty, isn't it? This is your Lifetime Achievement Award more than what he's actually done in this. I mean,
he's won loads of stuff before.
I mean, one of our bookmaking rivals quoted 100 to 1 for this, so I'm not on, unfortunately. Jeez. So, the 1 to 3 again. Mark Rylance, Bridge of Spies, won the BAFTA. This, I just think the fact that it goes into an American audience and obviously American judges and stuff in the Oscars, I think it just goes to Stallone because I don't think they'll have another chance to give him another Oscar.
Yeah, fair enough. Oscar. I mean, there are loads of other markets here. I mean, every category pretty much seems to be priced up here. So
all 24.
Well done.
Should be on site. Also live in play. Mm. If for the people who can't sleep, Monday at 1:30 a.m.
Have a nice night doing that.
Thanks, mate.
I'm sure you will. If there are any others on there that you like and you've got a little bit of a fancy for, whether it be best original score or makeup and hair,
just
tweet us.
The only one to mention, really, from a British point of view, is Spectre is up for the Sam Smith song. Writing is on the Wall is up for Best Original Song. And that's 7-2, second favourite behind Till It Happens to You, which was taken off the Hunting Ground at 2-5.
Interesting. Got a bit of a history as well, haven't they? Spectre, the James Bond songs of winning prestigious awards. So, if you've got any bets in any of those and you want to share with the Specials podcast community, then @reality_Rob or @LeeFelps is where you should tweet those to. And we'd be fascinated to hear if you've got a little bit of an inside word on any of those other categories. Elsewhere on the Specials pages, there's plenty to bet on. We're going to finish off with Eurovision, Rob, your specialist subject. We've got outright Melody Grand Prix, the National Selection Finals, and the UK Specials. Which act will represent UK Eurovision? This is happening tonight as we record this on Friday. Darlene, Until Tomorrow, 11-10 favourite. Bianca, Shine a Little Light, 3-1. Joe and Jake, You're Not Alone, 9-2. Carl William Lunt, Miracle, 5-1. Dulcima, When You Go, is 12-1. And Matthew James, A Better Man, 33-1. This is which act will represent UK, or the other title for this betting market is which act will you never hear of again after Eurovision 2016?
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
Who wins?
I think it's a tricky one. Darlene is a deserved favourite. It's a sort of country type song. Country music's never really gone well at Eurovision, but I can see people getting behind this.
Really?
This song. Maybe not.
Maybe it never does well at anything.
Maybe not in Eurovision.
It never does well at anything, though.
No, maybe not in Eurovision, but I think tonight.
But country never wins any X Factor, or when you see it on Britain's Got Talent or on The Voice. People just don't like country. I like country. But why does Britain feel the need to be forced onto country music?
Yeah,
we just don't like country music.
I know. But
as a nation.
There seems to always be a little... It will keep going round every couple of years. There'll be a new sort of country band, and it goes through. I mean, Bianca, Shine a Little Light is the one I've backed in second. Co-wrote by Leona Lewis of X Factor and global music fame now. I like this. I think this one, I think out of the six, I think this is the one that has our best chance of getting maybe a top 10. I don't really fancy our chance. Of these six, I don't fancy our chance of doing anything in Eurovision, but this is probably the best one that we could send. Joe and Jake are of The Voice fame. Jake Shakeshaft, Joe Wolford,
really?
Who have done a duo, and I did quite like
Shake,
this.
Shake, Shake.
I did quite like this one as well.
Never thought I'd say his name again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There you go. But they're 92. Carl William Lund, that's been co-written by, I'm sure it's by somebody who wrote for Rihanna at 5 to 1, but the song sort of, it just seems sort of dirge and...
Fair enough.
I don't think it gets anywhere. Dulcima is a duo, very much like your sort of Mumford and Sons sort of act.
Yeah.
Take them or leave them. And yeah. Matthew James seems to be just making up the numbers.
Good looking guy,
but something that's just 20 years too late for the music taste. So we're betting on this live 7:30 tonight, BBC 4. My bet, Bianca, 3 to 1.
Like it, Rob. I like the fact you're taking the fav on there a lot. Thank you very much.
Pleasure, mate.
It's been enjoyable. James Bond specials, weather specials, royal specials, next Pope, all on there for you if you want to have a quick look at them. We've covered off everything else, and we'll be back next week for more of the same. Thank you very much for your time,
and thank you
for listening. If you haven't a bet on any of the specials markets, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.